Lady, she thought, would provide examples of women preachers, and we'll deal with those. First of all, she brought up Acts 2, verse 17. So on chart number 14, I believe, Tim, you probably already have that up there. We've already actually dealt with Acts 2:17 in my last speech. We admit, and this statement will answer most of what you said, we admit that women prophesied back then. We have no problem with women teaching the Bible today. As a matter of fact, women are supposed to teach. Like, for example, in Titus 2, we brought out how the aged women were to teach the younger women. And in that day and time, when prophecy was still in effect, and they still had prophecy, then I suspect many times an aged woman would prophesy in a situation where she was, and I'm talking about inspired teaching, where she was teaching younger women. That's fine. So Tanya correctly points out that women did prophesy, teach the gospel, and so forth. But none of these places, Tanya, say that the woman prophesied or taught in the church assembly. As I've already pointed out, I don't oppose women teaching the gospel as long as they don't do it as long as they do it outside of the church assembly, and as long as they don't teach over a man. For example, lead a class that has men in it. I am affirming that it is wrong for women to preach in the church, as 1 Corinthians 14:35 says. 1 Corinthians 14 never said it was wrong for to go out and tell somebody about the good news of the risen Savior. Never said that was wrong, so we never have opposed that. And that's why your example in Matthew chapter 28 of the women there being the first ones to tell folks about Jesus rising from the dead doesn't give us any problem, because we agree with that. We think that was a good thing. They weren't preaching in the church. As a matter of fact, the church wasn't even in existence at that time. When the whole church has come together into one place, the women should not speak. The Bible is clear on that. We're not saying elsewhere, like at the home, they cannot speak. I have conversations with my wife all the time, and many times the Bible comes up and we talk about Bible things. And I learn from her. Nothing wrong with that. Aquila and Priscilla, the lady, in a conversation taught Apollos, Acts chapter 18. No problem. But Aquila did not preach in the church, neither did she lead a class where Apollos was one of the students. The Bible does not contradict itself, Tanya. She's trying to act like the Bible contradicts itself. Like one place it says they can't speak in the church, and another place it says they can. No. One place says they can't speak in the church, another place says they may teach the gospel. Since they don't contradict, how do you resolve that? Well, it's easy. They can teach the gospel, but not in the church. Now, we agree, put up 16, Tim, we agree that passages like Galatians 3 eliminate race, sex, and class discrimination. But Galatians 3 does not teach that we all have the same role, men and women alike. Christians, men and women, black and white, rich and poor, are equal in Christ as Christians. But we do have different roles spelled out for us in the Bible. I gave you an example in my last speech. Are you a mother, Tanya? Well, you've had some children. You've born physically children. I never have. It's not even possible. Does that make you some kind of first-class Christian where I'm a second-class Christian? No, not at all. It doesn't make you any better than me that a woman can have a baby. It just means that we have different roles. Okay? Now, the role when it comes to the home is the man goes out and works and the woman is to be a keeper at home. Does it make the man any better or the woman any better? No. The role when it comes to preaching in the church is the man is supposed to preach in the church. The woman is to keep silence. She's ashamed for her to speak in the church. That's just a different role. Doesn't make anybody any better or worse. Okay. Then she talked about 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, and basically said this was only talking about the family. You can take that off. I've heard some of my brethren say it's only talking about the church assembly, and I can't figure out how they can say that. And now she's going to come along saying this is only talking about the family. Well, it's true enough that the husband is the head of the wife. So this does fit the family, and it does fit the church. It fits both of those, that the woman is not to usurp authority over the man. But neither one of them, it doesn't exclusively apply only to the church. It doesn't exclusively apply only to the family. She maintained that this word, the word for man and woman here, mean husband and wife. Now, there is a Greek word, Tanya, you're correct, where you'd see the word man, it just means mankind without reference to male or female. And this is not that word. That's true. This word, when you see the word man and woman in this 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, The man refers to a male, though. It's specific. And the woman refers to a female. It does not tell us, Tanya, if it's husband or wife. Now, it could be referring to a husband if the context says that. Or it could be, this word could refer to wife if the context says that. But it doesn't necessarily. Let me give you some examples. Same Greek word, which, by the way, is Strong's number 1135. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but hold your hand in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, because that's what we're talking about. Does man and woman only refer to husband and wife there? The Greek words that she maintained. In verse 7b, talking about the woman, it says the woman is the glory of the man. Is that talking about only the wife? No, that's women in general are the glory of men, and men are the glory of God in the first part of the verse. It's not just a husband or wife. A single woman is still the glory of man, and a single man is still the glory of God. Now, in this context, in talking about this covering, he gives some reasons for the covering. And he says, verse 8, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels." So he's given some reasons for the covering. And he talks about how that the woman was created for the man and so forth like that. And that's the reason the woman ought to be covered, but not the man. But lest man gets the big head, and talking so much about how that man is the head of woman, verse 3, and that woman is for the glory of man, woman is created for the man, unless we get the big head, he says this in verse 12. "For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God." Now what that's saying is that we don't need to get the big head, us men, because it took every one of us to get here, it took a woman, our mother. That's what that's saying. The man is also by the woman. That's what that's saying. We can't do without him. If for no other reason, we could not have gotten here, us men, without our mother. And that's what he's saying. Now, is that talking about husband and wife in verse 11? Are you saying that I was born of my wife? No, of course not. That's talking about my mother. It's not talking about husband and wife. You see, man and woman there is used generally, not talking about man and wife. Otherwise, that would mean that my wife had me as a baby. Now, let's look at some other examples of this very quickly, where this word, this Greek word, can mean just man or woman. It doesn't have to mean husband or wife. Acts 22, verse 4 says, "And I persecuted this way unto the death," speaking about Paul, "binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." Is that just husbands and wives? Obviously not. That's men and women in general. Chapter 17, verse 12, "Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of the men, not a few." Is that just husbands and wives that were converted? No, that was men and women. It included probably some husbands and wives, but it also included some people who were men and women that weren't married. Acts 8, verse 12, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Was that just husbands and wives, Tanya? Or would that include also single men and women? Now look at John chapter 4. Before I close, let's give this one. You remember the woman of Samaria? In John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria." That word woman there is the same Greek word as 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Now, is that woman a wife? No, not at this time she's not. As we read the story on, it is revealed in John 4 that she has had five husbands, verse 18, but the one she's with right now is not her husband. Now, I can't nail that down exactly what that's saying. Probably that's talking about she's just living with a man but not married to him. The man she has right now is not her husband. She's been married five times. She's not married now. She's just living with a man, evidently. She's not a wife, but she's called that word woman, the Greek word, same word as 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. So the truth of the matter is, and if Alex, whoever here studies in Greek, you'll know that this word is just a general word for male or a general word for female. It could refer to husband and wife, no doubt about it. It could, if the context warrants it. But it also could refer to single men and women. Now, the context would have to tell us it's referring to married men and women only. That's what Tanya maintained. And first, that will not bear out in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. It can't be talking about just the home. Now, we could go through the whole context here and probably give six or eight reasons why it's not talking about just the home. But let's give a couple. 1 Timothy 2, it says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere." Now, the context is supposed to tell us where this applies. Is it just the church assembly? Just the home? No. Everywhere. God tells us it's everywhere. This is not just talking about husbands are the head over their wives in the family. Now that is true. That's taught by Ephesians 5:22. But that's not all this is talking about, because this is talking about the context is everywhere. And as I mentioned in my first speech, I believe, verses 9 and 10, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, according to Tanya's position, this would be saying that only women have to dress modestly, and then only in the home. They could go to a nudist colony if they were single, live in a nudist colony. No. Obviously, this is talking about men and women in general. Wherever they go, they need to be modestly clothed. Whether they're married or not, they need to be modestly clothed. Whether they're in the church assembly, whether they're at home, say, for example, when you have visitors at the home or children are there, whether you're at a ball game, whether you're married or single, the women need to be modestly dressed. So 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12 is not just talking about the home, Tanya. It does include that. This is saying that a woman should not usurp authority over the man, period. That's what it says. That's what it means. It did not say a wife is not to usurp authority over her husband. Now, that is true, but this passage teaches more than that. It teaches that a woman, period, single or married, is not to usurp authority over the man, single or married, not to teach over that man. Now, I think we've given abundant proof of that. Now, we've already responded to your point on Matthew 28, 7 and 9, through 9 and verse 17 about the Marys were the first ones to tell everybody about the resurrection of Christ. Church that wasn't even in existence then, but if it were, this is not a church assembly. We're all for women going out and trying to spread the gospel. We pointed that out in Acts 8, verse 4. The whole church went everywhere and preached the word, including the women. We already agreed to that. Acts 2, 17, 21, verse 9, the women prophesied. They taught the Bible. Titus 2, the aged women taught the younger women. We're all for that. The Bible doesn't say the women are not to speak anywhere. It says they're not to speak in the church. That's what we're opposed to. And when the term that we use today, women preachers, that's normally what people are talking about. Women gets up and preaches in the church like you do. They're not talking about a woman teaches a ladies' Bible class. I believe that she's actually preaching when she does that, but today's society, they don't usually call that preaching. And that's what the issue is tonight. Not this morning, not whether or not she can teach a ladies' Bible class. She's teaching the gospel. Yes, in that sense, we could call that preaching. We're talking about it's a shame for women to speak in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:23 says, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place. So we're not even talking about the Sunday school, the Bible classes. We're talking about, though, in 1 Timothy 2, a woman is not to teach or usurp authority over the man. If you do have the Bible classes, then if there are men in the class, the woman should not lead. And then he brought up, put up number 22, Tim, Deborah. Well, let's notice a few facts about Deborah, Tanya. My opponent claims that a woman judge, Deborah, in the Old Testament proves that women today can preach in the church assembly. First of all, Old Testament examples do not provide New Testament authority. It takes New Testament example for that. Tanya agrees with that. Our Pentecostal friends, like Julian and them, agree we're not under the Old Testament law. You can't use that for authority. This is Old Testament. But nonetheless, even if it were a New Testament example, it would not provide proof that a woman could preach in the church. Because notice from Judges 4, 6 through 8 and 10 that Deborah did not lead in war. She only went along with Barak. She did not lead. No verse ever says she was head over Israel, the boss. No verse ever says she spoke to the assembly. You can be a judge without doing any of those things. And that's what we need. We have no proof that she ever taught the Jewish assembly, which would be parallel to the church assembly today, even though it's not the church assembly, but it'd be parallel to it. No indication she ever spoke to that. No indication she was the head over Israel. That's not what a judge is. A judge was not the boss necessarily. A judge, you know what it did? Judged. When Solomon judged in the case of the two women that said, this is my baby, he was not necessarily a boss, but he made a judgment. We're not opposed to women doing that. That's not preaching in the church assembly. As I said, my opponent just will not accept what 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 plainly says. And I wonder why. How much time, Alex? And then she brought up Huldah, the prophetess in the Old Testament. Again, that's an Old Testament example. Would not provide authority for us in the first place, but you will not find where Huldah ever prophesied in the Jewish assembly. You will not see her teaching over a man. But even if you did, it would not provide authority for New Testament church. The church was not even in existence at that time. And that's where we maintain the woman is not to speak in the church. But I haven't found where she taught in the New Testament, in the Old Testament assembly. Anna, yeah, she talked to people about the Lord. That's great. We're not opposed to women doing that. We're for that. As a matter of fact, if women don't talk to people about the gospel, they'll be lost. They're required to teach the gospel. The Great Commission is to women and men. Go out and teach the gospel to every creature. But they cannot teach in the church assembly, and they cannot teach in a way that usurps authority over the man, like leading a Bible class that includes men. Else they would be violating 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, and 1 Timothy 2, 11, and 12. Tanya, the Bible does not contradict itself. When we see where the women taught, that's good. We're for that. Not opposed to it. That doesn't contradict 1 Corinthians 14 or 1 Timothy 2 that tells her under certain situations she cannot teach. It doesn't contradict. It just means that in all the other situations, which is about 99% of her life, she can teach. Only about 1% of the time in her life, maybe, that she comes under the realm of these restrictions. The other times she can teach. And then she turned to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. That's an interesting, I'm glad she brought that up because it's something we can learn here. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, we've already been in this context, the context of the covering. It says, "But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head." That is even all one as if she were shaven. Okay? And so, the woman, when she prays, is not to wear this covering. All right? That's what the text says. She dishonors her head. So if she covers her head, covers her physical head, or if she leaves her physical head uncovered when she prays, then she dishonors her spiritual head, which is man. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 teaches us that. That's what's going on here. Now, so we admit that women pray and prophesy. Tanya, we've already admitted to that. But you made the assertion that this was in the church. No way. It's not in the church assembly. Not in the church assembly. Now, women do pray in the church assembly. Silently. The men, as they lead the prayer, they pick out the words, but what the church is supposed to be doing is praying with them. He picks the words of the prayer. And then if we agree with all of it, we can say amen. Okay? The men can. But they're all praying silently, even the women. But women do not prophesy in the church assembly. They do not. The only way you can prophesy, you can't do that silently, really. When you prophesy, you speak out and teach somebody the Word of God. Women did not do that back then. They do not teach the gospel today in the assembly. That would contradict three chapters later when it says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Let your women keep silence in the churches. So yes, this verse teaches that women prophesied, but not in the church assembly. They prayed and they prophesied outside the church assembly. Do you see that? How do you reconcile 1 Corinthians 11 with 1 Corinthians 14? It's easy. One says, do not speak in the church. One says that they prophesied. Obviously, they prophesied outside the church assembly. And that's what we're in favor of. And we're against what 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 opposes or forbids. We're against women speaking in the church. And as I mentioned in my first speech, put up number one, I can't see how you can make it any more plain than this. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. You know, he goes on to say in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write of you are the commandments of the Lord. So, Tanya, this is the commandment of the Lord, he says in verse 37. Now, this is not the only commandment he was talking about, but this is one of them. This is the commandment of the Lord Jesus. Remember Jesus said in John 16, 13 that he would guide the apostles in all the truth? This is part of the truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to write or to preach. It's a commandment of Jesus Christ that the women are to keep silence in the churches. Next chart. And so 1 Timothy 2, 11, 12 is plain, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I do not allow a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. We've proven that's not limited to husband and wife. That applies to all men and women. So the woman is not to teach over the man. And if she's preaching in the church assembly and there's men there, she's teaching over them. Or even in the Sunday school situation, if she's teaching men, she's teaching over them. I put up number 13. And so as I predicted in my first speech, Tanya is contending this morning for it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Whereas Paul said, it is a shame for women to speak in the church, and that's what I contend for. She's contending for the exact opposite of that. She's saying, her contention is whereas the Bible says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, Tanya is saying, don't let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is permitted unto them to speak. Isn't that right? Isn't that the truth of the matter this morning? That I'm contending exactly for what this verse says, and she's contending for the exact opposite what this verse says, Tim? Remember the roadmap. If you do the very opposite of what the roadmap says, you end up in the very opposite place of where you want to go. Thank you very much.